is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome my friend and colleague Sebastian Gorka, the host of his radio program, America First, observing the news, domestic and foreign. Seb, a very good evening to you. The domestic news is Facebook has decided not to decide, maintaining its cancel of the former president of the United States on Facebook. The question immediately comes to mind, monopoly. Facebook is conducting itself as a monopoly. Once upon a time, the 19th century, when the railroads conducted themselves as a monopoly, the Congress moved in. We've already had intimations of that, the Congress moving in. I'm never keen on the idea of regulation, but in this instance, it would seem that Facebook and its kindred of Cain in Silicon Valley are indifferent to the American people, are indifferent to the votes that we cast every 4 years or every 2 years, and they must be reined in. I mentioned, Seb, coming with the news of Facebook continuing to cancel the former president, Mark Zuckerberg, the multi-billionaire, has bought 650 acres of beachfront in Hawaii. So apparently, buying things is easy for them. Is it time, in your measure, is it time for us to speak out about Facebook, or should we just ignore it as we do in our lives? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I had one of the best experts, Alan Boccari, the tech correspondent for Breitbart, on my show, and he said, look, if you're a conservative, you don't hide in your own ghetto. You don't create your own platforms where you segregate yourselves. I agree with that. You build alternatives, but you stay on those monster platforms because, you know, that is what we believe in, the interchange of ideas. But there is an issue here in terms of monopoly, the censorious attitude against a man who garnered 74 million votes in the last election being canceled on both Facebook, Twitter, and also Instagram. And then there's the more important issue. You don't have to have the big oil or the railways approach necessarily. We just have to revise the Section 230 law that gives these platforms immunity from any kind of legal action. Back in the 90s, when Section 230 was drafted, Twitter didn't exist. And they're using that cover to say, look, we're just an information exchange. This is a social media platform. We don't edit. We don't curate. Well, if you're actually banning people, you are choosing content. You're not a platform. You are a publisher. And as such, they should be stripped of that immunity. So there's, you know, many potential scenarios, but sadly, despite the good offices of Senator Hawley and others, nothing's going to happen until conservatives win next year in the House.
One mention. During the crisis in India, an official account in the People's Republic of China, an official account, mocked the catastrophe by putting pictures of the flames of the funeral pyres next to pictures of the flames from the Long March 5B. It was taken down afterwards, but that conduct for Facebook did not move them to ban the People's Republic of China's official accounts. It is a puzzle to me how that can be regarded as acceptable. The mysteries of Facebook. I don't want to solve it, Seb. Just use anti-monopoly laws and it'll go away.
But it's not just China. It's the murderous mullahs of Iran. It's American actors, American pundits, commentators, and even news outlets who for 4 years incessantly said that the last election had been stolen and there was Russia collusion. Well, none of that was proven to be true. $40 million was squandered by special counsel Robert Mueller. Have any of those accounts been even temporarily suspended? Not one. And we've seen a concerted effort to de-platform conservatives. It's the old adage, if there's speech you don't like, the solution to that is more speech. But it seems that our high-tech overlords in Palo Alto aren't big fans of the First Amendment, John.
The unintended consequences of Merrick Garland. Sounds like a play, doesn't it, Sam?
Oscar Wilde, a man
who was disappointed to be an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, apparently now is the Attorney General who believes in payback. Mr. Giuliani is the latest. There will be more. We know this is coming. The raid on Mr. Giuliani, if that's what he calls it, you know, investigation, raids, whatever, seemed particularly clumsy. How did it seem to you, Sepp?
Well, I asked America's mayor yesterday on my show, and he was very clear about it. The FBI agents are very professional. They were apologetic, but it was surreal. This is the man who took down 5 mafia heads in New York. He was the New York mayor who brought New York back to its feet after September 11th, associate attorney general for the United States, a man of, a record that is unimpeachable. And the bottom line is this is an attempt to intimidate him, but they won't. If the mob couldn't intimidate Rudy Giuliani and Al-Qaeda couldn't, it's not going to be Merrick Garland's goons who can do it. This is meant to send a chilling effect to all conservatives. The idea that this man could be raided on a spurious FARA accusation, which had a warrant whereby he would have to surrender all electronic goods, which he did. Except, interestingly, the federal agents didn't want the copies of Hunter Biden's laptops, which are also electronic items. It tells you it's just transparently a political search warrant, nothing more.
The unintended consequences of Merrick Garland. Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina. How deeply wonderful is this? South Carolina, Seb. South Carolina, the state that started it all with the secession in 1860, the Christmas of 1860, now gives us a senator who stands up and says just a few words, and suddenly America relaxed. Suddenly somebody spoke the truth. It was an operatic moment. But immediately the Biden administration, I'll give them this, Seb, they understood. And the next day and the next day, the vice president and the president said the right thing, that America is not a racist country. That was necessary for them to do, and I have to believe that Senator Scott helped them say it.
Well, that might have happened, but what did the swamp do where I'm sitting? The alleged ex officio fact checker for the Washington Post, Kessler, published an article which was an outrage, an abomination, which must have been prepared days in advance, where they digged into the census records for the senator's background, going back to his grandfather, trying to question his slave heritage. And at the end, if you read it, at the end of the story, they couldn't leave it out, was actually the reinforcement of what the senator had said about his family background. So in an attempt to take him down on racial lines, they actually supported the narrative of his full credentials to make the comments that he did. So maybe some pablum was issued out of the White House, but the swamp is still the swamp. This is the same Kessler who, by the way, John, declared last week that his fact check column on the president, the incumbent, is no longer necessary because the incumbent is Joe Biden.
Well, that's fair-minded of him. We move to Joe Biden's trillions, trillions and trillions and trillions. Now,
yeah.
I have several accountings. The most recent is from the Penn Wharton budget model, saying that the president maybe underestimated how much he's proposing to spend. However, Seb, there's no mood in this country right now to spend this kind of money on a recovery that's well underway. We're doing extremely well, and when and if the unemployment extensions end, America will be back to the full employment that we enjoyed in February of 2020.
This may shock you, John, but despite my veins coursing with conservative blood, I would be fine with an infrastructure bill, not of this inordinate scale, since we still have $1 trillion sloshing around from the last COVID recovery act.
We haven't spent it. We haven't spent it.
But I'd like it to be a real infrastructure bill. This has nothing to do with infrastructure.
Right.
If it were actually the fixing of the highways, the fixing of the train system, the fixing of internet in rural areas, absolutely more Godspeed to the people who would approve it. But it's nothing of the sort. It's pork, it's grift, it's payback for the unions, for the people who putatively got Biden elected. So, yeah, we if you travel around Europe, certain aspects of our infrastructure look shabby by comparison, but this isn't going to fix it. This is pure boondoggle and has nothing to do with infrastructure.
Sebastian Gorka, America First is a radio program. We're going to turn to what we really love, which is foreign affairs. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.